Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
When they hired Kyle, I was thrilled. I'm optimistic. I think we'll get there.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. We'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 44-33 win over the Jaguars, their fourth win in a row. We'll also hear from quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo and head coach Kyle Shanahan. But first, we want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information.
I think it was a good test for us, you know, especially as an offense, but I think our team overall responded. I mean, it was an overall team win today. I mean, offense doing our part, defense getting us field position, special teams. I mean, it was just, it all came together really nice today, and that's what makes a good team. And so, you know, we're moving in the right direction right now, and it seems week by week we keep getting better.
That's Jimmy Garoppolo, and this is a good team now, Steve. The 49ers are the best 5-10 team in the world. I mean, they beat the Jaguars, a team that's headed to the playoffs, and what a thrilling game it was. But it's just a totally different atmosphere. Everything's just so different now, the last four games with the winning streak.
Completely different. But you just watch the guys, like, you know, in a huddle on the sideline for, like, special teams getting ready to go in, like, kickoff return or kickoff team, defense, offense, doesn't matter. As they're huddled on the sideline getting ready to go in, they're all, you know, they're dancing, they're moving, they can't wait to get in the game.
I think the most surprising thing to me is that I thought the 49ers would struggle to score against a great defense. I mean, you looked at the stats, you saw that the Jaguars' defense led the NFL. They were giving up the fewest points in the league. They were having the most sacks in the NFL. Yet the 49ers' first drive, boom, they go down and score a touchdown. And, I mean, yeah, it was an overall effort. They wouldn't have scored 44 without those three interceptions. But at the same time, I mean, they were putting points on the board.
Yeah, and that's infectious. I mean, the offense gets the ball, goes right down the field and scores, and everybody else is like, whoa, okay, now, you know, we're good. We can go. And I think I was saying to somebody, I don't know, I guess after the game, you see the small plays that make the difference being made now. And I use the example of Solomon Thomas's sack. I don't know if you saw it. It was a very small play in the game and in the outcome. But he's rushing the passer. He's getting pushed to the ground by the offensive lineman, and he reaches He reaches out with his hand, hits the foot of Bortles, and he trips over his other foot. Sack.
Just that little, little thing to reach out and get him.
Didn't give up. Right. Just reached out and got him. And those are the kinds of things that when the snowball's rolling down the hill, those are little things that happen and make the difference. You know, I don't think it'll get overlooked in film with the team, because that's one of those things like, hey, these are the types of little things that we need to do to win ball games.
That definitely has changed. I mean, everybody's doing those little things. There's confidence now.
That's confidence, and that's you can, like I said, you can see it. You can see it when they're huddled on the sideline, getting ready to go in. They can't wait to go in. They're dancing. They're moving. You know, they're just like, let me on the field. I want to be one of those guys.
We'll continue the conversation with former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono right after this. There's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, Take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on special offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park.
I think everything started off pretty perfect in that game, and I think our guys were going. And then we faced some bad adversity coming into the locker room where I think it was 16-16 at halftime, and you know we felt we should have been up by a lot more than that. And to do that and then them start out with a field goal to be able to overcome that and our guys not change, that's what I was the most proud of with our team. I don't think our guys have been affected by the highs and lows of games. I think we got a tight group who believes in each other and they feed off each other, and I always feel that, you know, having a tighter group, I think, is a huge advantage in this league. And you got to execute, you got to be talented, you got to make plays. But when you have guys, I think, who believe in each other, it helps overcome adversity.
That's 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan. Now back to the discussion with Steve Bono.
I thought the biggest play of the game, Steve, was the interception by Kawan Williams. It was in the third quarter. You know, it's a back-and-forth game. And he just makes this great interception where he pulls it in with one hand. It's something that we didn't see in the first part of the season. Just plays like that. But that one to me was huge because that wasn't like it was just thrown to him. He had to reach up and get it with one hand and pull it in.
Terrific interception. The other two, the one at the end, the third one of Bortles, it was a terrible throw. But that one where he jumps and grabs it, I mean, with one, it's an awesome play. But there again, now that's a, like you just said, that's a game changer, that play. But those are the types of plays that weren't happening 5 weeks ago. You know, weeks ago.
They were not
10, 12, you know, 15 weeks ago. and now they are, because guys have confidence that they can make plays. You know, it's infectious, and it's caught. The you know, hate to use that analogy, the wildfire is caught. I'd rather use the snowball. The snowball is rolling down the hill instead of them trying to push it up the hill.
Right. Well, I mean, you can definitely point to Garoppolo, of course. I mean, he is the main reason why things are changed. You know, you look at all these things. He was winning his first four.
I think he was one of the pieces that they were missing, a major piece. Nothing against C.J. Beathard, because I think he was doing everything he could. I think it was coming together before Garoppolo got here, but then he was the driver. Everybody was on board, and they just needed the driver.
Yeah, it just amazes me how accurate he is. I mean, I've been saying this for the last four weeks. He made one bad pass. I mean, he had a couple that were tipped. He had the interceptions. They were the one interception in this game. And then in the past, he's had another pass, I think, that was tipped. I don't think he's made too many just bad passes where you go, what is he doing? You know, I think there was one where he overthrew the receiver on the left side, but that was about it. I mean, everything, it seems to be, is just accurate and on time, and just, you know, again, we always talk about his decisiveness.
Right. And the other part of this, back to the confidence. I want to be one of those guys making the plays. There's a ball that it's a beautiful ball over the middle, on a deep in route by, I just drew a blank on his name, number 11.
On Goodwin, yeah, Marquise Goodwin. Who's having a great time with Garoppolo.
That ball, 10 weeks ago, he does not catch it. Arms extended, running full speed across the middle. 10 weeks ago, he does not catch it. I don't care what you say. Now, he's one of those guys. He wants to be the guy making the play. And it's a sweet ball thrown by Garoppolo. Boom, he snatches it and runs with it. I mean, guys are making plays catching wise left and right. There's another one where Garoppolo just is going to get crushed from his left, falling to his right, slings. I think it's third down play too. Slings it. It's in the vicinity of the receiver. It's behind him, and he makes a great catch. I mean, but that's the difference between winning and losing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's just made these guys better. Everybody's rejuvenated. Look at Juszczyk. I mean, he was really being questioned. And people were talking about, why'd they get this guy? And now he's being utilized the way I think now, they saw that they could do.
No, not just utilized. Now he's being featured.
Yeah, he's being featured, yeah. And he can run. And he's fast. I mean, they had that
runs nice routes.
Yeah, he ran route for 44 yards, yeah.
Yeah, they ran that kind of where they get him coming out of the backfield in a, you know, right on the hip of the tight end is what they ran on Sunday, and he runs a little bit of kind of a wheel route, and the linebacker screws up the coverage. It's wide open. I mean, he's getting featured. He's not just getting, you know, used.
He is just, yeah, all of a sudden now they're finding him, and he's got the speed, and he's open. You know, here's another thing. I talk about stats, and when you looked at it coming in, the Jaguars did have an Achilles heel as far as their rush defense because that wasn't so great. They were ranked 19th, okay? So that's not up there like the other categories. So 49ers took advantage of that. They did run the ball well in this game. I mean, Breida averaged 6.7 a carry at 74 yards. So they definitely were able to, you know, divvy it up, and that made the passing game that much better.
Yeah, yeah, and Breida, I thought Breida ran well. Not that Carlos didn't, but Breida had a couple where he broke a couple tackles. You know, got to the second level, and really even to the third level. But no, they did run the ball well. I mean, let's see, ran it 30. I got it here in front of me. Ran it 35 times, and they threw it 30. So I mean, there's the balance you're looking for, and. They played well. I mean, it was fun to see. It's fun to be there in the stadium.
Probably, so. There's always one play, it seems, that Jimmy G pulls off that's really fun to watch, and especially going to his left. He made that play again where he threw across his body a little. He's going left. He's throwing right a little bit, and Trent Taylor who made an adjustment. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't a perfect pass, but he made the adjustment, made that catch in the end zone. That was awesome.
It sure was. That was a heck of a catch. and again, that's, you know, 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago, the ball's probably not caught. I mean, you know, like I said, everybody wants to be the guy to make the play. And, yeah, it wasn't a perfect ball. It's in the vicinity. Makes an adjustment to it. Makes the catch, touchdown. But Kyle does like he does seem to like running that Waco kind of play action to Garoppolo's left, where he fakes right, you know, fakes the stretch run to the right, and then comes out on a bootleg to the left.
Well, not everybody could do that. I mean, you know, the footwork, the arm angle, the way he makes his adjustments. He said it was from playing baseball. Maybe he was a middle infielder. You know, so he said he's able to make these throws to get away from linemen, you know, to avoid them. Because he has that skill, and not every quarterback can do that.
No, he definitely can lower it down and change the arm angle and still make accurate throws. And I could definitely see him being a middle infielder. No question, he's got good feet and obviously got a good arm.
But it's hard to throw a football when you're doing different arm angles, isn't it?
And when a 300-pounder is about ready to smash you.
That's the thing that's really amazing. I mean, he's got somebody right in his face, and he's making plays. And that, again, that's another sign of a great quarterback who just knows how to get it done.
Yeah. It's fun to watch. It's fun to be a fan.
Now, if you were a Jaguars fan, this was not fun to watch because not only did you lose, but this team came apart. I mean, they were fighting on the bench. I don't know if you saw that because you were at the game. But CBS showed. Yeah, there were a couple guys pushing and shoving each other. Malik Jackson and Aaron Colvin were getting into a sideline shoving match. And then, you know, they just came apart with these penalties that they had. They had, you know, 15-yard penalties, taunting, unsportsmanlike conduct, unnecessary roughness. Yeah. Just crazy stuff. I mean, they had that clothesline by Dante Fowler. That was on Marquise Goodwin. That was terrible. That reminded me of The Longest Yard, the movie, when he had the clothesline. It was awful.
I didn't think of that. I had Deacon Jones in my mind for some reason.
They probably wouldn't have thrown a flag when Deacon Jones was playing. No. Just let him do it.
Oh, my God. But you know what? Live, even at full speed live, it didn't look good. And I'm sure on replay it looked even worse. You know, at first I thought, you know, is that a penalty? But then I was like, you have to throw the flag because if you're trying to protect guys and you know, worry about injuries, then you have to throw the flag. That is a penalty, you know, unsportsmanlike conduct, no question.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, for a playoff team, this is a little dangerous to be playing like this.
Going back to what you were saying, though, I didn't think, I mean, if you looked at Bortles' stats, they're not terrible. He still threw for 380 yards.
Yeah,
382. Yeah, he had three interceptions. Now, they're still a pretty good team. I would question some decisions by Bortles. That last interception, he threw it to whoever it was that intercepted. I don't even remember, but it was a poor decision.
I think that was Witherspoon. Yeah, that was the Witherspoon interception. Yeah,
the receiver was not looking. Two, the receiver had Witherspoon's beat. So, you know, they get so enamored with throwing this back shoulder throw because the receiver can't get by the DB. Well, in that situation, he should have thrown the ball deep because they had him beat. So
that was bad. Well, the pick six was a bad
decision.
Yeah,
the pick six was a bad decision as well.
A bad pass too. He led the guy too far, and it just tipped off his hand, and then Dante Johnson, it was right into his hands.
Yeah. Like I said, statistically, Bortles looked like he played pretty well, but I don't know, his body language didn't give me that during the game.
No.
He was, I don't know, but they're honestly still pretty good. there were some balls that he threw when I thought, oh boy, okay, we got this one in the bag now. And then all of a sudden, boom, you know, three plays and they're down the field getting ready to score.
Well, yeah, they finished strong. I mean, they were coming back. I mean, you know, they're down by three scores late, and they made it interesting there at the end with that onside kick and everything.
I'm going to have to question the special teams coordinator on. No offense to Carlos, but
Carlos Hyde was out there. Yeah, he didn't.
I don't think he's going to be my guy as the the one to be fielding the onside.
No, probably all just receivers, right?
How about Kittle or
just all receivers usually is
good. Yeah, or Selleck. I mean, give me a big body with good hands there.
Right.
Sorry, Carlos, but you know.
Yeah.
anyway, I was like, oh my God, what's he doing back there?
Yeah, that didn't work out. It gave the Jags life there at the end. They almost came back. Yeah. You know, there were some questionable calls in this game, too. One that went the 49ers' way. Remember that fumble by Breida, and they said the whistle blew, so it wasn't a fumble. That was a little questionable right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that ball came out.
I didn't necessarily see the replay, but it looked live like he was still on top of a defender's body, like that he really wasn't down.
Yeah, he was not down. He wasn't, and they blew the whistle.
Yeah.
So that was a little questionable.
I never saw the replay on that one, so I going on live, I would have said that, yes, he did fumble it.
Then there was the other one. I can't remember who the receiver was for the Jaguars, but he caught the ball. He took at least two steps, made a football move, as they say, and then fumbled, and they said no, incomplete.
No, that was a definite fumble.
Yeah.
even live, I thought, I mean, that one they showed in the stadium a number of times. The only thing you couldn't really see on the replay angle that they were showing in the stadium was that when he went to tuck it, wasn't really tucked. You know what I mean? Like like it's almost like when he went to tuck it, he knocked it out of his own arm.
Right.
So you couldn't really tell that from the angle, but he for sure had two steps and looked like possession to me. I thought it was a fumble.
Well, there's just a lot of talk around the NFL about what's a catch, what's not. I mean, we've been talking about this for a couple of years now. It's just difficult.
I saw that word. New England got a couple more again yesterday. Or I don't know, maybe it was I wasn't paying attention to what they were saying on either ESPN or NFL Network. But, you know, it came back to, again, that the no touchdown by the Steelers against New England last week, which I still think is a touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
Because to me, the ball popped out of his hand when he hit the ground with the ball. They need to look at that rule again. You know, surviving the ground and you know, the ground can't cause a fumble.
Right.
And that's the ground can't cause a fumble. Well, the ground shouldn't be able to cause an incomplete pass.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, in my mind, you know what I mean? Those are, I think, the same thing.
Right. Yeah. When Jesse James of the Steelers had that ball, I mean, he reached across and then the ground is causing an incomplete.
Fumble. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, he was already across the line and he had the ball, so I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah. 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 That one I still think was a touchdown. So, yeah, I think they need to look at how that's ruled again.
Yeah, they do. So now the question is, where do the 49ers stand at 5-10? Let's hear a little bit from Kyle Shanahan, the head coach, about where they stand now.
You know, I know today it seemed like we were the better team. So today I thought we played at a high level versus a very good team. You know, I think we've gotten better each week. I know we've won a number in a row, but I think what's been, you know, the coolest thing about it is I think we've gotten better in each game since Chicago, from Chicago to Houston to Tennessee to this. I feel like all three phases have gotten better, and I want us to finish up strong next week and really counting on that to lead us into next year.
So that's the thing. I mean, getting better every game is the biggest key because, yeah, I mean, there are people that are talking about next year and what this team can do, and I think it's way too early to start talking about all that stuff, but just kind of, you know, really admire what they're doing right now by building from game to game, and then to beat you know, one of the better teams, a playoff team, this past week is definitely quite an accomplishment.
It sure is, and I'm going to go back to the start of the year, and I've said it at least I probably said it every week that we've talked, and that was, you know, my experience winning the first game, losing 10 in a row, and then winning 5 in a row, and whatever, you know, whatever that spark is, we kind of all know what the spark is here, and that's Jimmy GQ, or whatever they call him, JGQ. We know what that spark is, and for everyone's sake, I hope they can win again this week. The momentum they have, the belief that they can win is in their own minds. You can just tell because you can see how excited they are to get back on the field. It's infectious, and it is really infectious right now.
Well, two straight wins. If they win this last game in LA against the Rams, against teams that are division winners, win that,
that starts to make
you think. But I mean, Carlos Hyde took it a little too far, talking about going to the Super Bowl next year. That'd be great. But he said that, and Jimmy G said something about how, yeah, I got to talk to him about that.
Let's see if we can do this on a consistent basis. I mean, not that it hasn't been consistent, you know, with four wins in a row. It's. You know, let's see if we can finish this off, end up at 6-10, you know, have a good off season, get a few more pieces, you know, going into next season with some expectation now, some of yourselves and by outsiders, and, you know, win on a consistent basis and let's, you know, and maybe handle some adversity throughout the season. You know, not that they didn't handle adversity in the beginning of the year. They did. I don't know. This would be a different scenario. Not that I don't want them to go, you know, 10-6, 11-5. I mean, if we can get to 10-6, if we could reverse it for next year, that's huge progress.
I think they can do it, no doubt. I mean, the way things are going right now, it's just so much more fun. I mean, I can only imagine, you were at the game, I was not. I can only imagine the atmosphere, just the difference of it from now, between, you know, the beginning of the season and now, and what it was like at Levi's.
So different. You know, to, to the point of I heard somebody say, "Gosh, that $35 ticket's now $100."
It's amazing how that changed.
And there were probably, you know, Christmas Eve, there were probably 60,000 people there. Atmosphere was terrific. You know, fans are excited to see the team play. And like I said, again, the guys are excited to be out there playing. I mean, just watch. It even invigorated a Joe Staley. I mean, not that he isn't always, but you just watch him downfield, you know, knocking people off the pile, you know, right behind, running downfield, you know, chasing after a back or, you know, chasing after a receiver after a catch to pat him on the helmet. I mean, it's so infectious, and it's so much fun when it's like that.
And here's what Jimmy Garoppolo said about the atmosphere at Levi's Stadium.
Things are going good right now. There's a buzz in the air. You can feel it as soon as you walk in the stadium. I mean, crowd's going nuts and just in pregame. So it's exciting. I mean, it's a nice thing to be a part of.
And Garoppolo, you know, yeah, he's getting a lot of credit and well-deserved. But, you know, yeah, like you said, the whole team is coming together. It just seems like he's just a perfect fit. Not, you know, for Kyle Shanahan's offense, for everything that's going on, it just benefited everybody because he's sitting there behind Brady and he's learning, but he's not playing, and he gets this opportunity. I mean, it's just so great for him and the 49ers, of course.
It's great for both of them, and it was, you know, like I said, everybody was on board, and they needed the driver, and they found the right one.
You think the Patriots are lamenting trading him for only a second round pick? I mean, you know, what are they going to do?
It's still going to be a pretty good pick. I mean,
okay,
they end up at 6-10, so now they're, you know, now they maybe have the 40th pick, 45th pick. It's still a darn good pick,
right?
And I think probably, and it's still good for both teams. No question.
And he seems to be able to handle all of this. You talked about this before he even got the starting job because, you know, a lot's being placed on his shoulders. Like, you know, and once you start winning, now it's like, okay, you're pretty much expected to win. But he just seems to be the kind of guy who can handle all of this. What do you think?
He sure does. I mean, let's face it, he still doesn't know the whole offense. And when you watch him, during the game, he's, I would say, 95% of the time in the last couple of weeks watching him live, he's understanding the play as it comes in, boom, right in the huddle. A couple times he was either having, you know, helmet issues that was more last week, where maybe he wasn't getting the play through his helmet or he wasn't understanding it. Actually did switch helmets last week. And he just run over the sideline, get the play and run back. I mean, there didn't seem to be any panic there, you know, no patting on the helmet, give it to me again. I didn't get it, you know, kind of thing. Didn't seem like he ever panicked.
He never panics. Yeah. That's what we've noticed so far.
So that's, yeah. So, I mean, that's you know, obviously a great quality. And we talked about that he, even though he hadn't played, he came in with strong credentials, and then guys bought into his personality, how he handled coming in.
It's been really a blast so far. So one more to go. Hope you had a great Christmas, by the way, Steve, and all of our listeners, and Happy New Year, and we'll be talking again in 2018 about the last game of 2017 at the LA Rams, and we'll see if the 49ers can pull off a fifth consecutive win to finish it.
I hope so.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next Tuesday, our last podcast of the 2017 season, as we will discuss the game in Los Angeles against the Rams and the entire 2017 season. Look ahead to 2018. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.